For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
I do want to talk about baseball coming up. We didn't get to everything Dave Van Horn had to say at the Swatters Club yesterday. And again, Richard is going to join us for some recruiting news in just a sec. Tommy, a couple texts here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline about our beefs this last segment with QR code menus. Being Clarksville reminds me that bingo at the Knights Hall is at 2. So if I want to do that, because I'm sounding like an old man. Jamie May and the show.
That's not an old man take. I don't think that's an old man take.
I don't either. But he's just messing with me this morning. Jamie May texting in. One thing that he does like.
What time again is bingo? I need
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Okay, 2 o'clock. Got it. Put that in my digital planner.
Yeah. I don't know how you do that, man. You seem like a guy that would have a regular one. But if it works for you, it works for you. Jamie May texting in. One thing he does like post-COVID is ordering on his phone and pulling up and it being ready at the self-checkout. That is one thing he does like.
That's one thing that really hacks me off is I do what you need me to do. I order on your app. I get there, and I still have to wait behind the people that ordered before me, and they get their food before me.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
JT
and Hot Springs, we have an app.
JT and Hot Springs saying the self-checkout is annoying because they stop to see my receipt. If you want to check me out and hand me my receipt, you don't have to worry. That's his frustration, is he goes through the process of checking himself out, and then they still ask to look at his receipt.
I agree, because we got a couple knuckleheads out there that can't, scan every item. But anyway, it's just the way of the world. I don't like it any more than you do, but apparently that's what we're going to have to deal with here moving forward. Hey, have you downloaded the Oaklawn Sports app? We were talking earlier about the NBA action. We had college baseball this weekend. NBA playoffs in full swing, as we were talking about earlier with the Thunder. The Oaklawn Sports app is the place. With Oaklawn Sports, there's always a season, and there's always action to wager on. Major League Baseball right now, college baseball. I guess I haven't looked. Was it the U.S.? It's not the USFL. Was this the AFL or whatever we've got right now? That's the Birmingham Stallions and those guys. I guess there's lines on that. Hockey playoffs are underway. They've even got table tennis, darts, cricket, rugby, and more. So hey, if you can't find something off that list, and I guess the Olympics will be on there. We haven't even talked about the Olympics, but that's coming up. Sign up with the Oaklawn Sports app today and qualify for a second chance on your first bet, because Lord knows me and Ty would need it, up to $250. You create your account with Oaklawn Sports, you make a deposit, make at least a $10 bet, and it's that simple. Once you deposit, you're automatically enrolled in the promotion where you can get a second chance on your first bet up to $250. To make it easy for funding, credit cards, debit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, Venmo. You can ACH. You can do on-site cash at Oakline. It's simple. Whatever you want to do, they probably got an option for it. Arkansas's best sports betting app, Oakline Sports. Bet with the brand you trust anywhere in Arkansas. Bet with Oakline Sports.
Richard, we'll start there. Did you win any money on Mystic Dan at all this weekend?
I get the knucklehead award. I tweeted out my five horses that I was going to play in a try, super, and all that. Guess what? Guess who I left out accidentally?
Accidentally, yeah. Well, I can do you one better. I had Mystic Dan pegged as of Thursday night. By Friday morning at about 8:30, I changed my pick to Honor Marie. So, like yourself, I did not fare well this weekend when I should have gone with my gut. Football news, Richard. You got a couple commits this week. Let's start with probably the most notable. It's kind of garnering some national news. Monte Harrison, which I've seen a lot of people talk about this report that you put out. Tell us about this 28-year-old preferred walk-on that started his career in baseball and now is going to try and play some football here in Fayetteville.
Yeah, I've been talking to Limbo Parks, who coached, obviously, a former Hog offensive lineman in the 80s, late 80s, who has coached at Lee Summit West for almost 20 years, and obviously very, very knowledgeable about him. And he was keeping me informed that, you know, that he had visited for the Red-White game. And I really didn't know much about him, to be honest with you, and here in Limbo, and then talk about him. And then he sent me a couple of videos of Monte robbing guys of home runs. And when you see those videos, you realize not an average athlete could make those type plays. It showed an elite type athlete. And then Limbo just couldn't talk enough about him, said that he legitimately could have been a college basketball player, been obviously a football player, baseball player, and if he wanted to, could have got a scholarship or in track and field in the long jump and triple jump. So he's Limbo's 59 years old. He's from the Kansas City area, and he says he's as physically gifted as any athlete he's ever seen coming out of Kansas City. Obviously, he's 28, but last year he played his last year of baseball, still in very good shape. Will he be rusty football-wise? Sure, but he'll be reporting to Arkansas for summer workouts pretty soon, and he'll be able to, get in football shape, I guess you could say. But I think from a physically gifted standpoint, this may be the most physically gifted preferred walk-on they've ever had. Obviously baseball is going to be paying his education. And in talking to him, I'm used to talking to mostly high school athletes. I was talking to a man. I mean, this guy, his maturity level obviously is a different level. He's had a lot of life experiences, has played in the major leagues. And if worst comes to worst, he doesn't play, he will be an excellent, excellent addition to the locker room as far as his maturity, and he'll be able to be a good mentor to a lot of guys. So I think it's a win-win. I know Arkansas, I know people in the football program are very excited about him, and I'm excited about him. And another thing, Limbo sent me a picture, and the only reason I didn't tweet it out is because I think it's probably copyrighted, and I don't want to cause a problem there. But evidently, there's a picture of him dunking in high school, and his head's way above the rim, and the kids in the background, all of them, their mouths are open. So he's a special athlete. So it will be interesting to see what happens going forward.
All right, run that back because I want to make sure I, didn't still have sleep in my eyes and taters in my ears. 28 years old, is that what you said when he gets here?
Yeah, he's 28 right now. He'll be 29 in August.
What an incredible story.
I mean,
I'll be honest with you. I mean, his goal is to play 1 year and try to go to the NFL. I mean, obviously, I mean, you're getting up in age, but if you see the two videos of him robbing two home runs, one of them, you kind of think it almost looks like Bo Jackson when he did something similar, and it just I wasn't excited about him until I saw those videos, and I said this dude's different. So it's going to be interesting.
What I was thinking about as you were going through all of the things he's accomplished and the things he's capable of doing a minute ago, the disparity in age in a locker room. I mean, how wide has it ever been in a college football locker room? 5 or 6 years? You're talking, you know, you've got an 18-year-old freshman and a 28-year-old portal player transfer, someone coming back from pro baseball. That's a 10-year gap in your locker room. I mean, that's hard to find. I mean, it happens in pro sports. Frequently, but not that often. That's probably never happened in college sports, I would think. Not very often, at least.
Yeah, well, you know, you're probably right, but something else to think about. A lot of these transfers, a lot of them are get 24 and maybe beyond sometimes. So that's a difference, but I know Joe Moore, the Syracuse offensive lineman, he's about to turn 25. So you're seeing it more and more with guys, especially the COVID year, playing longer. And some of these guys also, not only just COVID, but getting exceptions to asking for another year of eligibility for various reasons. And you're seeing guys even going on their seventh year of playing college football or college sports.
We've all lived it, though. We all know there's a bigger difference than 6 years between an 18-year-old and a 24-year-old. The amount of change you have in that time of your life is far more than the years under the belt. So,
interesting. I'll be honest with you. When I was 27, I think that's when the light bulb totally went off, and I really thought, okay, I got a grasp of this thing called life. I mean, I obviously didn't have all the answers, but I kind of had a better idea where I was as a person versus 22, 23.
Oklahoma State had a quarterback a few years back, Brandon Weeden. I guess a few years back, more than a decade ago, this kind of the situation. Played some minor league baseball and then came. Also, Chris Winkie, Heisman Trophy winner for Florida State, is another example. But it's definitely not common. There's no question about that.
Were they 28 though?
Weeden was, and I think Winkie was 26 really? Or 27. Yeah, so right. It was around that age. I might have to double-check me on Winkie, but I do remember Weeden being like 27, 28. What about Danny Sally, the defensive tackle from BYU, Richard? I know that's a position group that Arkansas really needs to add. What do you think about his commitment earlier this week?
Well, definitely adds beef up front, 6'2", 6'3". He's listed different heights and weights. I mean, but around 355, 360. So, he's an older guy that played 2 years of junior college, signed with BYU back in December and decided to transfer, I guess, after spring practice. Just another addition to big addition, much needed addition to beef up the defensive line and, seems like an impressive young man, from a physical standpoint, but also seems like a good kid too. So good get there. I don't think that they're done. I think that you may see another defensive lineman, another offensive lineman, and maybe best available. I think they've got three more spots to go, but they've done well this spring.
Joffrey Brown, another guy that committed this week. We were talking about Monte Harrison as a wide receiver. He's just a preferred walk-on. This kid from South Florida and North Carolina was originally committed to Charlotte, but decided that playing the SEC was too big of a possibility to pass on, and now he's committed to your Arkansas football team as well, Richard.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this is potentially a very big get. When I say potentially, evidently he's had some issues, with drops, but his speed, his playmaking ability. He had some impressive numbers at North Carolina, even though he was injured quite often there. And then he went to South Florida. He had this past season, he had a good season and made several big plays. A guy that can stretch the field, outstanding speed. His brother is a receiver for the Washington Commanders. So obviously the talent level, his genes are geared towards football, and definitely has the speed to help Arkansas at the receiver position.
Is Matt Landers a good comp for him? Played initially at a Power 5 school, goes to a smaller school, and now jumping back. Is that speed and ball skills were questionable with Matt? Is that a good comp for him, Richard?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I think obviously the main thing is trying to get him more consistent with his catching ability. You do that combined with his ability to stretch the field and make things happen after the catch. I think you could have a guy that could really do some damage this fall.
Real quick before we let you go, basketball-wise, DJ Wagner's in town this weekend. Cal's had a lot of success with guys on campus and getting them to sign with Arkansas. You think Wagner's a hog by the end of the weekend, Richard?
We'll see. I mean, obviously, just based on what we've read, that he's visited Musselman and USC. A lot of these transfers, they're very tight-lipped and don't really don't put out a lot of information. So it appears he's only visited USC, but at the same time, we don't know for sure. But obviously knows Cal very well and was recruited to Kentucky. So you probably should feel good about the possibility, yeah.
All right, Richard, appreciate the time. We'll catch up next Wednesday with you.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right, Richard Davenport and all of our guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. With 6 locations in Springdale and in Bentonville, a good deal is never too far away. Find McLarty Daniel online at McLartyDaniel.com.
All right, we're talking about Monte Harrison. I want to spend a little more time on him. We mentioned his home run robbing abilities. This is the first thing out of Richard's mouth. You need to watch videos of this guy.
And Meisner, it's a high fly ball to deep left center. Going back, Harrison. Going back to the track at the wall. Monte jumping up, and he caught it. Monte Harrison. He robs Cameron Meisner of a home run.
Tommy, I don't know if you've watched any of these, but it's pretty special what he's doing. And I don't know if he's going to be utilized in fade routes. I don't even know if he's going to crack the rotation, but it is a wild story. And I was just doing a little research. Like I mentioned Brandon Whedon. I mentioned Chris Winkie. Some other guys, like Matt Ganyard, is a Syracuse kicker that was 34 years old on the Cavaliers this past season. Joe Thomas played at South Carolina State, 55-year-old running back. And then Tim Frisbee was 40 years old at South Carolina. He was a wide receiver. So there are some, there's seldom, but there are some stories like this that you occasionally see. And I guess Monte is another, again, Richard mentioned, he turns 29 in August. So before the season starts, you're going to have a 29-year-old player on this roster that in some cases, he's going to be older than GAs and some assistants out there.
Yeah, certainly some GAs and team personnel. Yeah, you're right. It's just a feel good story and a good opportunity for someone that's coming back after, you know, doing well in professional baseball. Is that how you read it? I think that's one way, and it'd be right. It's probably multiple ways, and it's also a sign that hey, you know, Arkansas needs some help at wide receiver. Arkansas is probably not got the depth of the personnel they want, too. So there's a couple ways to look at this glass, and I don't know that it's got to be half full or half empty. But you just hope it works out. And, you know, I don't think a dose of maturity and a dose of experience is ever a bad thing to infuse around 21, 22, 23-year-old people.
And Richard mentioned it, that just he comes across when you're 28 years old relative to being 18, there's just a completely different level of that aspect. And I'm curious to see, as you mentioned, is this a feel-good story or is this guy going to play even a little bit? Is he going to play? So I wonder what I was wondering when I saw the story is like, How did the connection start? Like, where's the connection there? Lee Summit's not too far. I mean, it's basically Kansas City, 3.5 hours or so from Fayetteville. It's proximity. I mean, he was originally committed to Nebraska out of high school before deciding to pursue an MLB career. But I wonder, like, hey, guys, we got this 28-year-old that's interested in playing college football for us. I'm curious to how that conversation not only started but got to the finish line, it sounds like.
No, that's a reasonable thought, and we got more questions than we probably have answers to at this point. But hopefully he comes in and he's a contributor because he's a great player, not a contributor because it's a feel-good story or Arkansas is in such desperate need that he has to play. So hopefully he just earns a spot by being a great athlete. 29's not too old to be able to go out and physically do it because we see it every day in professional sports. So I'm not worried about the age at all. And hopefully the rust that he'd have from playing baseball and not being around the game doesn't take too long to get over.
So we asked Richard a bunch of football questions, but we also at the tail end asked him about basketball. I mentioned DJ Wagner is reportedly going to be in town this weekend. Cal's freshman point guard last year that's an upcoming sophomore. His dad played for Cal in Memphis and is a guy that is pursued not just by Arkansas but USC, which you should find interesting. I need to go. I don't know if this is a rumor or this is actually true. I need to go in and double check if he's dating the USC star, his girlfriend. I need to go back and double check that, but that would be interesting if that was the dynamic there. But Jeff Goodman had some thoughts on DJ Wagner this upcoming season. Here is what the college basketball analyst had to say about the prospect of Arkansas getting him.
I think it's a priority that he brings DJ Wagner, who I didn't love, but like his sophomore year, I think if he buys in, I think he'll take a jump and be that much better. And he knows Cal's system. You're not going to go to a Final Four, to me, putting together a team with like 12 dudes that you've never coached before in a setting that they've never been and you've never been before. That's virtually impossible to do.
And I've said this for a while, and I loved Anthony Black. I thought Anthony Black was a dog. He played through injuries. He loved the game of basketball, and he had a little swagger about him. I'm just not a fan, typically, of freshman point guards, to be honest. I want someone handling the rock in clutch situations and key situations that's been there. DJ didn't have just a stellar freshman season. He had like 10 points and 3 assists a game. But he's been in Cal's system. He's played a season of college basketball in the SEC, and he knows what it takes to play under Cal. So if they do get him this weekend, which according to 2 recruiting analysts, he's crystal balled to Arkansas, that seems like it would be a good get. You were asking a question a week or so ago, who's handling the basketball? If DJ Wagner ends up coming to Arkansas, DJ will be handling the basketball as your point guard.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying about handling the ball, and nothing you said was inaccurate. But also the other thing is, a lot of times you're, not all the time, but a lot of times your point guard will be the one to get the call against their shooting guard or their best shooter. It's not just handling the ball. It's not just limiting turnovers. It's not just creating assists. It's also who can be the guy that can defend. That's just as important to me as it is the ball handling. You're not wrong with what you're saying, but I think it goes further than that as well.
And those freshmen did play a lick of defense last year, and they saw the exit. I mean, if I'm DJ Wagner, I'm motivated, right? This was a top 10 kid coming out of high school. He wasn't as sought after by NBA teams as maybe he thought coming in, and they got bounced by Oakland in that first-round game. So if I'm Zvonimir Visic, if I'm DJ Wagner, if I'm Adu Thierro, they're like, man, we want to go farther in the tournament. We not only know what it takes to win during the regular season, but we don't want to be upset like we did again. So I think there's a motivation factor, not just from the top down with John Calipari, but the guys that came in. Another kid we mentioned, John Aldeas Nelly. FAU got bounced first round by Northwestern this past season. So you got guys that maybe didn't live up to their own hype and potential as a team that are going to have that motivation heading into this year as a team to get farther in the NCAA tournament. Are they going to make a Final Four like you heard Goodman refer to? I don't know. That may be a bridge too far, but you're definitely not going to make a Final Four if you have 6 or 7 freshmen on the roster. That I can guarantee.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
As we went to break, that 79% of Americans have a difficult time deciding on what to order. It was a study done by U.S. Foods. It takes some people about 12 minutes to answer that question. Now, I'm a guy that personally, before we go to a restaurant, if I know where we're going, I will look up the menu before we go eat. So I'm, by the time the waiter or waitress is like, hey, what do y'all want to eat? I know exactly what we want. And sometimes at a newer restaurant, it takes a little bit of time, but it's not hard for me to order at restaurants. Tommy, our Morning Rush Daily question, is it hard for you to order? You were talking about the app earlier, having apps where the food should be ready, and sometimes it's still not by the time you get there when you were supposed to get there. Is it hard for you to order at restaurants?
If it's one I've been to a bunch, probably not. I think sometimes people wait around and see what everyone else at the table orders. Because I've done that. You've done that. We've all done that, right? Kind of wait to see what everyone else is doing, because I don't want to get a, you know, I don't want to get a sandwich when everybody else is getting a steak, and I don't want to get a steak when everybody else is getting a sandwich. So, you know, sometimes I'm waiting to kind of see what the mood at the table is.
You don't want to set the tone? You don't want to be the
Sometimes it depends. Are you the guest, or is everybody going Dutch treat? You know, if someone else is picking up the tab, I don't want to order the giant filet when they're going to have a salad with croutons or whatever, you know.
So do you guys, when you go to restaurants with 4 or 5 of your buddies, do y'all just split checks, or do each get your own? Does someone pay it? How does that usually work? Because we usually just
generally
all get our
split.
Own.
Yeah,
y'all just split them?
Yeah.
Just down the middle?
Well, I mean, what really, you're talking about what's your beef Wednesday, what really irritates me. We was out of town, out of state, a couple weeks ago, and we had a larger group, but they wouldn't split our checks up. And so, I mean, some people got kind of the shaft on the deal, because some people had an appetizer and a meal and several drinks, and some people had water and a salad, and they just split the whole thing for like 20 people evenly. Well, that wasn't fair. You know, so it really irritates me when they won't split checks up at a restaurant. You'd actually do better that way, I think, tip-wise.
It goes back to laziness. That's all
yes,
it is.
It just drives me nuts.
As someone that has worked in the restaurant industry for 6 years, that's all
you
it is.
You can split checks.
It's not difficult to do. Every software device
exactly.
that restaurants use across the country have the ability, the capability to do
Thank
so.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
That is all it is. Now, I will say...
They lost. I say one night that restaurant, because of that laziness, as you call it, lost about 8 or 10 of us that we just said, to heck with it, went somewhere else.
Yeah, I will say if you're going into a restaurant knowing that you're not going to be able to split the check and that people are going to pay, what we do is we just calculate our Venmos, and by Monday or Tuesday, it's like, hey, you owe me this much or do that, because we're not at an age where we can just swipe the card and not worry about it. We're not at that level of income just yet. So I get the aspect of waiting when you go to a restaurant that you just know.
I don't think it's income. It's spending that's the problem.
Well, you just don't want to be, you don't want to be in a situation that, again, like you said, you're ordering a fat steak and everyone else is getting a smaller meal and you get the dividends of getting the bigger, better meal and everyone else is having to take up and pay for what you're talking about, which I understand. I get that, but I get more often than not, I show up at the restaurant, I know what I want to order. I don't care if it's 10 a.m. I'm going to get what I want. People will look at me weird when I order like just some gargantuan amount of food at 9 a.m. in the morning, especially off maybe a night that you drank too much, but I eat what I want to eat. I'm not turned around. I'm not changing my mind based on what other people get. I know what I want, and that's what I order regardless of most of the time.
Well, what if it's a place you've never been to before and you're going with someone that's got experience there?
That's why I look at the menu prior to.
But that doesn't mean just because you like short ribs or whatever, so it doesn't mean theirs are any good.
That's fair.
Don't you want to ask somebody that, hey, what's good here?
Well, what I do is like, hey, this is what I was going to get, or this is what I was going to get to the waiter, excuse me, to the waiter or waitress. And if they advise me to go one of them or get something else, then I'll go. But more often than not, I have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to get at that said restaurant.
I do appreciate a server that will say, you know, I've tried that and it's really not that good.
Yeah, the honesty.
Yeah, I do appreciate. Hey, I've tried. It's not for me. It's not real good. I don't know what they like or don't like, but I've never ordered something that a waiter or waitress has said, that's not our best dish. Shepherd's pie, not really our thing. You know, I've never went ahead and said, all right, well, bring me that anyway. Yeah, you know.
Russell in Huntsville texting in this morning. He says it's aggravating when a waiter or waitress is hounding to take your order before you've had a chance to really look at the menu. That's his beef this morning on What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, that's our Morning Rush Daily Question. It is brought to you by Red River Dodge in Heber Springs. They are Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger. Swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Andy texted in and it says, Ty calling them waitresses is sexist. They're called servers. I said waiters and waitresses, didn't I, Tommy? Several times?
I think we both did.
Okay. Just want to make sure and clarify that. All right, staying on the restaurant side of things, two beefs I want to share this morning. I found out that Todd Graves, who's the owner of Raising Cane's, is now a billionaire. He's estimated to have a net worth of $9.1 billion.
Thanks to my children, he is.
Are we in the wrong business? I mean,
yes.
I've been to the original in Baton Rouge, which is really cool, but I always love going to the originals of any restaurant. I think that's cool. But I'm seeing that, and from the outside looking in, this is a guy that you'd actually want to be around. But all I can think about is, man, a fast food owner's $9.1 billion. It shouldn't be a beef.
Franchising, baby. Franchising.
That is a beef of mine this morning.
So what's the beef of?
I'm in the wrong business, apparently. Apparently, I should have started.
Is your beef with you or your beef with him?
A combination of both. That he's worth that money. That he's worth that money, and that I'm in the wrong industry.
Why are you mad at him?
$9.1 billion.
Okay, but I don't understand why you'd be mad at him.
No,
help me understand that.
Why
are you mad at him for being successful?
Because it's not me, Tommy. It's not me. He's working.
So you're not mad at him. You're mad at you.
Yes, a combination of both.
Well, no, you say, okay, combination. I don't understand the combination of. Why are you mad at him?
Because he's
What's his name again? Tell
Todd
me his
Graves.
Name again.
Todd Graves.
Why are you mad at Todd Graves?
Because he is killing it right now, and I'm not.
So?
I've said it three times.
I'm trying to get to the root of your jealousy and your anger is... What did he do to you?
Apparently, I got a beef with the chicken guy. That's what Ryan in Fayetteville texted. Now, we are a pro-chicken program here. on the Morning Rush.
Very much so.
Very much Chicken Man. I guess this is another Chicken Man that is also along with the Tyson family or the Tysons as a whole in that category. Whatever. That's what I'm, again, it's a mad at his success and mad at my own failures, I guess, is what I would lump that into.
Okay. Why are you mad at his success?
We got to move on from this. I've said it three or four times.
I don't understand, though. Because someone else is successful, you're mad?
I can't help you any more than that. Well, I just can't.
I cannot wrap my brain around it.
All right, another restaurant beef, and this is not mine, but apparently Ric Flair, the Nature Man.
The Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
So we went to Baton Rouge to talk about Todd Graves. Let's now go to Gainesville, Florida, where Ric Flair was apparently at Paisano's earlier this week or last weekend.
Okay.
And was ejected from the restaurant. And
oh, really?
The manager was talking about and posted this on social media that Mr. Flair was being drunk and disorderly. He wooed directly into a blind grandmother's face. And being confronted, he picked up the furniture and swung it menacingly. We love Rick, but he was boggered. I guess it's just another term for drunk. Now, Rick had this to say. He said he spent $1,500 at Paisano's to be more disrespected than I've ever have in my entire life. After taking 20 pictures with customers and staff, I was asked to leave because I had an issue with the kitchen manager taking too long in the bathroom. I would highly recommend that anyone who wants to enjoy a relaxing time in Gainesville at a nice restaurant to never visit that place. Woo!
Woo!
That's what he said on social media. So apparently, Paisano's has a beef with Ric Flair, and Ric Flair has a beef with Paisano's. I'm going to side with the restaurant in this situation because I've had to be in one of these incidents where a customer got too drunk and disorderly and was out of control, and we had to send him out of the restaurant, and he complained. He wrote a terrible review. But you're disturbing the other customers. And
yeah.
I'm going to guess that this manager was right in this situation. Flair has a beef with Paisano's in Gainesville, but he's wrong here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like buying a ticket to a game. Just because you paid face value or whatever you paid for your seat doesn't give you the right to ruin the experience for everyone around you. So I'm with you on this one that Flair was probably just being a drunken jerk. Probably at the nicest of it. Bigger trash talker in their prime, Ric Flair or Larry Bird?
Both backed it up. I mean, Flair's, it's an act.
Well, Flair backed it up by the script.
Yeah, it's
you know,
an act. So I'll give, because Bird would actually, you know, follow through, and you mentioned the script. It wasn't fake, real. I mean, I still remember
right.
Xavier McDaniel, it's like, hey, this is the play. I'm going to shoot it right here in your bleeping face. And then he did exactly that. There's multiple incidents with former Piston players, former Pacers players. I mean, Boston had, again, the track record at the time with five, I think, NBA Finals appearances and Bird and Magic going at it. So I would say Bird. I mean, that's the greatest, one of the greatest trash talkers. Him, Michael, I don't know who else. Reggie Miller's pretty good back in the day. But those guys, if you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And Bird did that pretty much every game.
Yeah. I was listening to a story, one of these reels on Facebook. And I think it was Shannon Sharp interviewing Charles Barkley. And there was a famous altercation between Larry Bird and Dr. J. And Barkley's holding Bird back, trying to get them two separated, and no one gets Dr. J, and he just tees off on Larry, and he's holding Larry. And it's a really funny story. He said, but can you imagine if I had held back Dr. J and no one got Larry and Larry killed that old man? As he said, I could have went back to Philly. They wouldn't have let me back in. That's
and Dr. J was known as this, like, not pacifist, but known as this, like, very calm, very collected player that rarely got animated or over the top. But that's what Larry did to people. I mean, you go down the list of the people that Bird's trash talk affected. Three-point contest, actual in-game, end-of-game stuff. I mean, he irritated. He had that Southern twang, but it's just like that French lick, and he's giving it to you. And I mean, I'll call it was like, so I remember Rodman talking about this. Rodman's thing was, all right, this guy can't play. Like it's the great white hope, whatever. And then he got tuned up and he's like, yeah, that's like the baddest. And this had happened after he'd never been tuned up by a white guy that bad. He talked about that. And at the time I guess this was the 87 Eastern Conference Finals. He was like, yeah, Bird's just another player or whatever. Isaiah said something similar and they got torched and that's why they lost and they couldn't get by the Celtics at the time. They finally did and they got to play the Lakers. So it was just that era. 80s and 90s, the combination of Magic, yeah. Bird, and Michael will never, ever be touched. Doesn't matter what crop of players coming in. As much as I love watching Isaiah and Jalen and OKC now, it's just not the same, and it never will be.
You want one more beef?
Go ahead.
I know we have to evolve with our technology and our society, but I'm doing the show here. I got my computer in front of me. I got my radio equipment to my left, my laptop, and then I've got my iPad over here so we can do the live video stream. And I've got this newer iPad, but the end on, if I want to plug that in, so I'm trying to keep everything charged and going, but does the new end work where I can plug it into my computer, into the USB, and make it work? No, because it's got one. I don't even know what you call that.
USB-C,
I think. USB, is that what it is? I wouldn't argue. You know, does it plug into a computer? Maybe my computer's not new enough. I don't know. But I understand things change, plugs change, evolve with the times. But it's frustrating when you're used to being able to plug things into other devices to charge them and can't do it. And if you lose that block, that particular thing that plugs, and you don't, because you don't have anything else like it, everything else is USB, you are hosed. I mean, you are hosed until you find another one or find one that someone else has left behind. So I wish we would get some kind of standardization for a period of time on this stuff, because I've got like four different cables and none of them are interchangeable.
Is it Tim Cook, who's the Auburn alum, that's the head of Apple?
Correct.
I believe that's right. Is he a crook? Not just because he went to Auburn, but the fact that he just keeps changing things. Because the first thing was, it was the changing of the charger and headphones, right? You had the aux cord for the headphones, and then they went on the new iPhones. They changed that up, so you had to buy either an adapter or you had to buy a completely new set of headphones. Then they've changed the charger since then.
They don't even have an aux cord deal where you can put it in. Yeah.
And they could have kept it all the same.
Nope.
And now they're charging us, what, $30 for new charger, $30 for new headphones. And I'm an Apple phone guy. I hate Macs. I'll never buy a Mac. I think I'll take a PC over a Mac any day. But I'm an Apple guy on the phone side through and through. And I found myself the other day, my phone not charging, scared to death that I was about to have to spend $1,500 to $2,000 on a new phone and everything else that I had to come along with it. Luckily, got this new charger port or whatever.
I think chargers and cords and USB stuff, all of that should change with like presidential election cycles. All right, you got to stay with whatever we're doing, and then every 4 years we can update and change and bring that along. I don't know. That's probably a bad idea, but then you could upgrade everything at once, because it seems like nothing in my technical world right now is compatible, and it just drives me insane. But I guess if we operated in my way, we'd still be on cable boxes on top of the TV, and I'd still be changing the channel for my grandpa or something, and on his console TV, and, you know, the good old days, as they say.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Monte Harrison, the newest Arkansas commit. I think they're up to 9 now in this football spring cycle. Has an interesting backstory. Started college, and at least expected to start college, in Lincoln, Nebraska. Ends up not making it to campus. Instead, decides to play a little minor league and MLB based ball. So he's 28 years old. He's turning 29 in August, and he can get up a little bit.
High fly ball, pretty deep to center field. Harrison going back, leaping at the wall, and he made the catch.
So we got an update from our buddy Richard Davenport in the first hour. The connection is Colby Smith, Arkansas's running backs coach, and Harrison's trainer. At Lee Summit, from Lee Summit. So that is the connection why he has ended up in Fayetteville, Arkansas, Tommy, as a preferred walk-on, not taking up a scholarship spot. Curious to see if this is feel-good stories we've talked about or if he actually plays this fall.
And the part you just said there, doesn't the preferred walk-on, Major League Baseball is going to pay, you know, his tuition, so there's no need for a scholarship. That's what makes this attractive, and clearly Arkansas has a need in this area. So, like you said, hopefully it's not a feel-good story. This is something that's productive and will become a storyline throughout the year. But a 28-year-old that will be 29 in August in the same locker room with 17, 18, 19-year-olds is just, to me, that's fascinating. I know it's happened before. You brought up Brandon Whedon, and I think Chris Winkie, did you say, was also another one that was a little bit older.
Player, yep.
But 29 years old. I know there's other examples of people even older than that age, but this is Power 5 football and a real opportunity to play on an SEC field. That is something you don't see very often at this league and this level.
Gives a new definition to upperclassmen. There's no doubt about
it. Yes, yes.
DJ Wagner in town this weekend, according to reports from John Rothstein and others. The former Kentucky Wildcat point guard entered the transfer portal and could wind up still plan for John Calipari. Listening to Jeff Goodman talk about just this whole roster situation, he likes the fact that Cal didn't bring all 6 freshmen with him.
I'm so glad he didn't take 5 or 6 of his freshmen with him. And he might not have had that opportunity anyway. That might have not been his decision. That might have been, you know, some of those other guys' decision not to go with him. But he gets 3 freshmen. He brings in Adu and John L. Davis, 2 guys that are veterans that have produced at other places.
Here's what I'll say. He's gotten crystal balls already from 2 recruiting experts in the industry to go to Arkansas. Excuse me. I think by Monday or Tuesday, he'll announce his commitment and signing with the Arkansas Razorbacks because, with the exception of Brandon Garrison, the Oklahoma State transfer, Arkansas has gotten, at least reportedly, every guy on campus has signed to come to Fayetteville. That stepped on campus in this cycle, basketball-wise, has decided that Cal, coming back to Cal or coming to Cal, is their best move.
Yeah, and, you know, what's the next move? You know, you talk about Wagner, him coming in. That would be, what, player 8 if he signs?
Correct, you'd have 5 left.
You'd have, you know, 5 spots left. So, you know, where do you fill them up? You were talking earlier about the balance between freshmen. You just played the clip there. Is it 3 players? Is it 4 players? It's not going to be 6, it doesn't appear, and I think 6 is too many. But I think 3 or 4 is kind of the right number. I think I like 4. More so than probably 3 if it works out. But I still think this draft process and that calendar and some things hitting later in this month is going to determine a lot of those last 5 spots.
Other news in Arkansas basketball, some guys that had some successful outings last night, Daniel Gafford, Isaiah Joe, and Jalen Williams.
Gildas Alexander. And Williams snaps in a triple.
That was like the last shot I watched before I passed out. Gafford had 16, 11, and 5 blocks. Jalen, who hit one of his threes there, 11 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 assists. And Isaiah finished with 2 threes, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. So they filled up the box score, all 3 of them. Oklahoma City takes it 117-95, and then Boston blows out Cleveland 120-95. They only got one game tonight, Pacer, Knicks, and then you've got Minnesota and Denver. I think it's on Friday. It's either Thursday or Friday, if I remember that right. So only one NBA game in action. There's no Arkansas guys in action tonight.
Yeah, I was looking just at the schedule a minute ago. Let's see, you said Thursday night. Hell, stupid phone.
another beef.
Yeah,
technology. Well,
Thursday night, game 2, Dallas and Oklahoma City, and then Cleveland and Boston. Then Friday night is Knicks, Pacers, and then Denver and Minnesota.
So don't ask me why it's like that, but that is the setup. All right, other news. Happy birthday, 37 years old, to Arkansas former running back Felix Jones.
Jones on the end around. He's got great speed across midfield. Still on his feet. Felix Jones might be gone. He is. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Man, those highlights back in the day. I mean, when I was in middle school watching him, Darren Payton, and the rest of the guys do what they did, you talk about Arkansas football in a nutshell. And those end arounds and the wildcat or wild hog, as we called it back in the day, that was some fun football to watch. So happy 37th birthday to Felix Jones, man, Tommy.
That doesn't even seem possible that he could be 37 years old. Felix Jones, 37 years old. It doesn't seem that long ago. Clay will be here in a little bit. Just doesn't seem possible that he could be that old at this point.
Yeah, and even, again, I guess that was 06, 07, or it would have been 05, 06, and 07 when him and Darren were running Rob Moore Felix in 06, 07. But, yeah, pretty crazy that you had those two guys in the same backfield at the time here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. All right, last thing here. Dave Van Horn had plenty to say at the Swatters Club earlier this week, including talking about some situations with the left fielder and the designated hitter spot.
DH situation is, it's, you know, the right left thing. If we had left hand hitters that showed me they could hit lefties just as well or close, then, you know, I might go with them. But I'm thinking that's probably going to be a platoon spot for now. And left field needs to get settled. Or, you know, if Holt's playing center, then that's, you know, left's wide open. If Wilsmeyer's playing center, right now it's more of a defensive situation and Holt's going to play left. And Diggs is the guy. He needs to get it rolling. I think he will. And he got so many big hits over his career. You know, he got another big hit on Friday that kind of got us that lead. We just need him to be that guy.
What do you think fans are more interested in? The starting pitching rotation this weekend or who's in the outfield? Because we know Holt's going to be there. But, and Diggs, unless something wild changes, he's going to be in right. What's more interesting to fans heading into this weekend against Mississippi State?
Probably pitching, but, the point on the outfield is probably an area.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That if you really watched and you really paid attention, that's probably the area that if you want to have some, I think, legitimate concern, that's the place where it could be.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Here he is. The Clay Henry.
Clay, welcome in, man. We got an hour with you. Good here morning. On What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, happy to have you.
Thank you all for having me.
Oh, always, man. Always good to have you. How about, Clay, I don't know if you caught it last night, but how about Daniel Gafford, Isaiah Joe, and Jalen Williams in that Mavs Thunder game?
103, check that, it's Gafford!
Mike Anderson enjoyed watching. Those are all his players. He signed them. You know, when you think about what he put into the league, there's some good players out there. Bobby Portis. You know, you can find a Razorback. A lot of different of these playoff games.
I hope I hope OKC advances, but either way, you'll have a Razorback in the Western Conference Finals, either Dallas or Oklahoma City. So they'll probably take on the Timberwolves, depending on how that series goes between them and Denver. Well, Clay,
Timberwolves, man, somebody better figure out how to stop Anthony Edwards. I mean, he's a beast.
He's a stud, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when he decides to go to the basket, I mean, it's like the Red Sea parts. You know, nobody wants any part of that.
Highly recruited coming out of the high school, number one player in the country out of Atlanta. Selects Georgia as his college 1 year, goes to the NBA, and is really starting to find his rhythm. And
I like to watch him.
Yeah, he's a good player. And on the subject of highly recruited players, DJ Wagner, who's going to make a visit this weekend, Clay, according to reports. This was Cal's point guard as a true freshman last year, New Jersey kid, played with Billy Richmond in high school, who's one of Cal's freshmen that is currently committed. Another connection to Cal's past, his dad played for him at Memphis. There's a lot of, you think about Thierro, you think about Richmond. I mean, Clay, there's just a lot of former Cal connections, not just the players that he had at Kentucky, but relatives too, which is pretty crazy.
Well, if you look at the NBA and you think there's, you know, 40 of his former players out there, and you think, well, they got to have some relatives, it's going to keep going. I mean, there's going to be that kind of connection throughout his teams, because there's going to be a younger brother, there's going to be a cousin, there's going to be, you know, it's just, there's,
well,
that's too much talent to
he's coached long enough now. Yeah. They're second generations.
They're sons. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And then there's, you know, his coaching network. I mean, those guys, their arms and tentacles, you know, reach into a lot of different talent laden areas. So he's got it going on. You know, I watched Wagner some last year, and you know, there were times where I thought, well, he really is talented, but there's something not right. I didn't even realize at the time he was playing with a bum ankle almost the whole year. And that's what everybody is saying, that, you know, he's healthy now. And those ankles, sometimes they just don't heal up for a year.
Linger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he had, Clay, the game I know you watched was in Rupp Arena, where I think he knocked down three of his four three-pointers, had like 19 points against Arkansas.
Yeah, he was pretty good that game.
Yeah, and really it was more about Dillingham and Shepherd as the freshmen. But I just like the idea of
Like, a lot of guys scored that game.
Yeah.
111.
Yeah, it was a back-and-forth battle between the Hogs and the Cats and Rupp that day. I just like the idea of the combination route, which they've done thus far. And I'm going to play these comments from Rob Doster coming up in just a sec. But you think about the contemplation of the roster thus far. Seven players, right? You've got three freshmen, two former Kentucky players in Avisic and Thiero, and then you've got three transfers so far. So, again, it's a good setup. Now, I want y'all's thoughts on this because listening to, again, college basketball analyst Rob Doster speak to, hey, the idea of, hey, maybe it's not the best idea of bringing in a couple more more Kentucky players. And here's what he had to say in regards to that.
But seeing that Adut Theroux was now following Cal to Arkansas and seeing that DJ Wagner is now taking a visit to Arkansas and seeing that Cal is basically trying to reproduce the way that he built a roster at Arkansas with Kentucky players. Like, I just find myself questioning whether or not this whole, like, Cal has something to prove and he's old Cal. He's 2009 Cal. This is John Wall Cal that we're going to end up seeing. I just don't know if that's going to be a thing. Like, I feel like at some point the old dog's got to learn a new trick, right?
I think he is learning. I think the fact that there's not six freshmen that are going to be on this roster is, and they might add one more. Tommy and I were talking about that earlier. But there seems to be a more focus, not necessarily upperclassmen because Visich and Wagner are sophomores, but getting guys that have played college basketball, Clay.
Not just college basketball, but have played for him. Mm-hmm. And when he says jump, they know which way to jump. And he says, you know, we're going to line up and do this. And they're already lining up. And it's so much about continuity and the culture. And these guys already know what he's like, and when he frowns, if he's mad or if he's happy or if he's going to get over it quick. And, you know, they can coach the other guys. I mean, that's the part about this that is unique, that there is going to be some continuity despite there being an empty roster. And so if I was him, first of all, let's think about it in these terms. If you watched Arkansas and Kentucky last year, and I always think this when I'm watching a game, would you take the Arkansas players or would you take the Kentucky players? Who would you trade if you were John Calipari for an Arkansas player? Would you give up one of your guys for one of their guys? No. You take all those Kentucky guys. So why wouldn't he take a few of those and ensure there's some continuity and knowing – these are all 4 and 5 stars. They're the cream of the crop. They're the reason why everybody picked us last year, and now they've got another year under their belt. It just makes so much sense to me. And those that are nitpicking about this and questioning it, they're looking for something. They don't know. They don't want to say, yeah, that's great. They just want to be nitpickers, and that's what the world is now. But I don't see anything, but this is a positive.
Here's something.
They're great players, and they know the coach.
This is a response on our YouTube live stream, which you can always watch us on YouTube, Facebook, X, and Twitch, and Instagram, too. Steven says it is interesting that Muss has not gotten any former players to follow him to USC. Now, Jalen Shelley and Isaiah Elohim were committed out of high school, but Layden Blocker's going to DePaul, Caleb Battle's going to Gonzaga, and now Devo's going to Oklahoma State. You look at Cal, he's got three of the six freshmen that were committed to Kentucky that are following him to Arkansas. And then potentially if Wagner jumps on the bandwagon, that's three former players in Lexington that are going to join him here in Fayetteville.
This one's not hard to figure out, though.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy, you're right. It's not hard to figure out. If just what I just said, if you were going to pick players between the Kentucky players or the Arkansas players, I don't care if you were Muss, you'd want the Kentucky players. He picked them. He had them a year. He knows exactly what they were. I would say that Mark and Battle would be two that you'd say, well, maybe I'll take those two. But you might want to start fresh. And those guys, they might want a different coach. It didn't go well. They're rolling the dice for their last year or so in that, you know, things didn't work out with this coach. Maybe I need a different coach. And he wasn't happy. They weren't happy. It was dysfunctional. And that they would all want to start fresh and go opposite directions is not a surprise to me.
It is kind of interesting that Wagner, it sounds like, is down between USC and Arkansas. So
yeah, I think there's a lady involved, isn't there?
Yes, and the outstanding freshman.
Juju, what's your last
Watkins?
Name?
Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she's at USC, and they've had a relationship. So, hey, when there's a woman involved, watch out.
Yep. He did pick up two crystal balls to Arkansas this weekend. Travis Branham, who we've had on, crystal balled him, and also an On3 recruiting analyst. So it sounds like Arkansas is in a good position. We'll see how the weekend goes ahead for this basketball team in Cal. And Clay, you think about it, I think Brandon Garrison is the only guy that's been on campus that hasn't signed with Arkansas in terms of visits. I believe that's right.
Yeah, and he was an either or with him.
If they
got one player, he wasn't coming, and they got him. So, no harm, no foul. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't get all the quarterbacks. You know, the first one to pick, that's who you got. You're not going to get the second one, and it's not a given that, you know, one guy's going to start over the other. But I think he took the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Garrison.
Yeah. Clay Henry is with us talking about basketball this morning a little bit, brought to you by the Lindbird Real Estate Group, serving all of Northwest Arkansas, Missouri, and the River Valley for all of your real estate needs. Go to LindbergTeam.com. Earlier this week, Chris Mortensen, you know, passed away a couple of months ago, but there was a very nice, well-put-together celebration of life in Rogers. You know, a lot of times in Northwest Arkansas, you'll run into celebrities. Walmart and the Fortune 500 companies have, people of notoriety come in all the time. But, Clay, this celebration of life, if you watch ESPN at all over the last 25 years, I mean, it was a who's who that were Mort's friends that were here to remember one of the greatest NFL reporters of all time.
Yeah, you know, he was ours for 20 years, and I was fortunate to get to know him early on, watched a lot of football practices with him and Coach Burles. We sat up in the upper part of the south end zone looking down on the practice field out the back windows, and whenever he was in town and, you know, had a little bit of time, he wanted to watch Alex, and so, you know, didn't want to be down on the field and cause a commotion, so Coach Burles and me and Mort would sit up there, and so I got to really know him during that time, and we became really good friends, and that just continued. But I thought I was different, but that's the way it was with everybody. You know, like, you know, when he latched on to you, he had you for good, and that's why everybody came. That's all those people loved him, because of the way he treated them with class, dignity. He could joke, he could pull a prank, but just a classy, classy dude. And,
yeah.
And a lot of people at Cross Church got to know Mort and Mickey, his wife, because they're there every Sunday. If he wasn't on the road, they were in there front and center. I thought Ronnie Floyd, who's kind of pastor emeritus, and he does preach some still, put together a service that was just knock your socks off. And you know, they had four speakers, had Alex's high school coach, who I think Mort handpicked from, a Christian church in South Atlanta. Chris Berman spoke, Adam Schefter spoke, Daniel Jeremiah's like lead writer for the NFL Network, who was mentored by Mort since he was in high school. I think Mort knew his dad and kind of guided him all through, got him a scouting job in the NFL. Dow Loggins was there, flew in from South Carolina because he says that Mort got him his first job with the Cowboys and helped him with Jeff Fisher get on with the Titans. So, you know, the people that he touched, you know, were there. And I was looking just to my side, and there was Jimmy Sexton, you know, the super agent for all the college and I guess some NFL people too. And you just knew all these people were close. I mean, they made an effort to get there.
Yeah.
Boomer, he said that he was supposed to induct the general manager of the 49ers into the San Francisco City Sports Hall of Fame that night, and these things didn't line up right. And he says, well, the only thing I can do is just get a NetJet out of XNA as soon as this is over and fly to San Francisco. And he goes, thanks, Mort. You stuck it to me again. So, but it was good. And the singing, Jordan Grizzard, who's lead worship singer at Cross Church, I mean, he just knocked it out of the park. I mean, it was a fantastic deal. ESPN had video about 10 or 15 minutes of Mort, people talking about Mort from ESPN. And, you know, like Sal Palatoni was there, you know, that covers the Eagles for ESPN. We all have seen him many times. Yeah, all the A-listers were there from ESPN. I didn't recognize. I counted 17 that I thought were ESPN people. Some of them were probably directors, producers. You know, I don't know everybody in that regard. Bo Mattingly knew some of them and was pointing them out to me. But it was pretty cool. You know, the Lindsay family was represented. You know, he sat a lot of times at Arkansas baseball games in their suite, sat in the Hogs Illustrated suite. Some he would call me. If we had a seat, you know, I'd just like, come on. I mean, sometimes he'd get off a plane and had not planned to be home in time for a game and had no plans for, you know, getting a ticket. You know, I was just like, come on. And, you know, I'd call Kevin Traynor, you know, the baseball SID. We'd get him a pass, get him in, and – he's nice to everybody. You know, stop and talk, and you would remember their names. And all at once, you've got a relationship with Mort, and he's got your phone number, and he's text Tommy and Ty. I would love, I told Alex this, I would love to sit down and look at his dad's phone.
Oh.
You know, I think I've got a long contact list, but I bet his is 1,000 times longer than mine.
And it stretches the limits of an iPhone.
Probably so. He's got some extra space in the iCloud.
I know, Clay, you've talked about your admiration for Alex, who now is at UAB in Alabama, Birmingham. And
was, offensive coordinator.
Yeah, worked with Nick Saban. I guess Dilford's the head coach there. But
yes.
Played quarterback a little. And I say played, but was a quarterback here at Arkansas. And I just think about, like, again, as a father, how emotional his father passed away, how emotional it would be. You referenced Daniel Jeremiah. I remember when they went live to Jeremiah, and I guess it would have been Rich Eisen, and I mean Daniel just broke down in the middle of that. So you can tell how someone, like, sometimes you have these guys and gals that are really successful in their industry, but they don't necessarily have a mentor impact on people they touch, on their predecessors. And well, that was not the case with him whatsoever, not just with his son, yeah, but countless others that you've mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it just was, you just oozed class. You know, you think the Mannings, you know, they loved him. He came to the Manning Academy every year. I mean, he's not coaching or doing anything, but they thought enough of him. They wanted him there, wanted him around, you know, young players, young quarterbacks, to talk to him about the NFL and the different organizations and, you know, how things are done there and what they might look out for. Is there, you know, kind of building their resume before they go to the draft? Because he's, you know, he's been in all those functions. And but it was, you know, on a personal level, you know, I would write a story about a fishing trip to Montana, and he'd send me a text about the next to last paragraph, which, you know, told me that he read it all. He didn't care anything about fishing. He was just reading it because I wrote it. Yeah. And, you know, it was just really cool. And, yeah, you know, he owned some property out at Hissam, which the old Hissam farm, they never built out there. It was a big horse farm that he was going to build for Mickey. And, you know, the White River kind of wraps around that property. And he's like, let's go out there and fish. I said, well, you got any fishing stuff? And he goes, I've never been fishing. He says, do we catch them with worms? I was like, Mort, I'm not sure me and you are the same, you know, but he wanted to go, and we never pulled it off. He just was too busy during the spring, which is when the walleye run up in that creek arm. But he just was, it was always fun with him, and had long lunches, and I wasn't the only one around here. He was just really good to everybody that he ran into. That was, you were part of Mort's family.
Yeah. You can read Clay's column online, hitthatline.com, absolutely free, no paywalls. You can read several of Clay's previous columns there as well.
That's starting to get a little bit of a library there. Are we talking?
Yeah.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.